is the Day Zero update for June 10th, 2018. I'm Felipe Lodernalfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Parkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Reb Victorio.
And it's the most wonderful time of the year, folks, because it's E3.
Christmas for games.
It's the awkward 24-hour of nothingness between the first and second press conferences.
Basically, yeah.
Thanks, EA.
Stupid EA.
Yeah, the EA just decided to, like, yeah, we want to be first, so let's do it a day or before everybody else.
Well, I think
else.
Their first last year, it was just they were right before the Microsoft one.
Yeah. This time, they wanted to be a day ahead of everybody for reasons I don't understand, but...
Yeah. I'm going to bitch about that when we get back to doing regular the podcasts, but yeah. For now, we're just going to roll with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because that's really all we can do.
Because I do have bitching to do.
Yeah. But yeah, we should get to a couple of stories that broke before E3. Kind of the most notable of the regular news stories was Steam decided that it's not going to exercise any control over content whatsoever, apparently.
They just kind of washed their hands of the whole deal and said, all right.
Yeah, we'll only pull stuff that is illegal or trolling.
Yeah.
Which is
so
a weird thing.
Previously on the Day Zero update,
yeah,
about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we touched on this even more recently than that. It was like 2 weeks ago when we talked about it.
The whole hatred thing was going down. It got its AO rating. They wore it like a badge right on their sleeve, and they got on Steam anyway. And I said that was the point of no return.
Yeah,
that this was going to play out one way or another, and Valve was going to have to take a position. And one of those positions was that they were just going to wash their hands of the situation and walk away from the discussion outright. Now it looks like that's exactly what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also think that some of these visual novel studios that are now going to have an open forum on Steam are probably going to force Valve back to the table and make an explicit decision one way or another.
Yeah. It seems like their policy is not that different than what they had before. It's just they're just being way less vague or way more vague. It's like, if it gets pulled, then it fits under one of our two categories.
Yeah.
Why? You'll find out when it happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the day before they announced this, they pulled that school shooting simulator game.
Mm-hmm.
Then announced this, and it's like, oh. Okay. And then they pulled a bunch of other stuff after this. It's like a, looking here, like a suicide simulator, AIDS simulator. These are just like shooters.
It's so shitty.
It doesn't look like the names are tied to the actual game.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're just asset flips with,
So now what happens if Illusion wants to start publishing on Steam? That's my question.
Yeah, what do they do mostly?
Explicit pornographic games.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's if it's not illegal and it's not not trolling, I guess it would go.
Yeah.
Are those overtly gay games still on Steam? Ones with the flopping dicks and all that.
Beats me.
I forget what the names are.
Yeah. It looks like basically they're just kind of
hiding under their desks.
Well, it's like they didn't actually change anything, it looks like.
You can deem anything as trolling. I think the main thing here is that we'll see whether or not Steam's, moderators or content regulators actually read what's being reported. Because, if they're actually removing games like the AIDS Simulator and the school shooting one, then, there's some work being done. But other than that, it's just going to depend on the random reporting that happens. Whether or not people are reporting games that should be reported, that's another story. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it seems to me like Steam really needs to take some kind of stand. Mm-hmm. But, it's not really realistic for us to expect them to be the moral arbiter of everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that case, I kind of feel bad for them, because it's like, what is right to be on the store or not? So it's basically they're going the route of, okay, if it's not like the most egregious stuff ever, we'll let it slide.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is they're not straight up with the devs. Like, here's what's okay, yeah. Here's what's not okay.
Yeah.
So devs just make the games that doesn't seem like it's going to violate anything. Then they find out, oh, there's this issue, this, and this. It's like, oh, why didn't you tell us up front?
Yep. Yeah.
You guys just selectively enforce it when it either starts getting media attention or just whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that Valve could be the heroes of the hour, or not Valve, Illusion could be the heroes of the hour by suddenly just dumping their back catalog onto Steam and let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And let's not forget, Steam is not the only game in town at this point. Nope. They may be the largest store, but if you want a place that actually does curate quality and tries to make sure that the stuff that gets on the store actually works, GOG exists.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
and if you want weird shit, itch.io.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's where all your free weirdo games are at.
Yeah. So. It's a weird time to be living, because a lot of people are going to find just about anything offensive, and it's kind of it's kind of a big job for a company, like, you know, anybody, any company really, yeah, to try to figure out what is and what isn't. So,
well, I'm going to be honest, I think part of this was due to the fact that so developers like, you know, Digital Homicide and like Notorious Garbage and Shovelware creators, basically the reason they were able to get away with what they did was because they would exploit various technicalities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the folks at Valve are finally like, you know what? Screw it. No more technicalities.
Yep.
We are completely going to judge this on a case-by-case basis by our own standards, and you bastards aren't going to find out what those standards are. So,
yeah,
that's actually kind of the reason that I set the community guidelines at World Warriors the way I did. Yeah. There are no rules. There are only guidelines, because where there are rules, there are loopholes.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And, it's very Apple of them to take this kind of stance, because Apple has a set of guidelines, and you'll have no idea why they'll refuse your app for a good
then
long time.
Then you'll find out, oh, somebody ported Pokemon to the App Store and somehow it got past everybody.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a total crapshoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Have fun, Steam. It's going to be an interesting time.
No regrets.
Poor bastards.
Just challenged everybody.
Yeah. So let's get into E3 itself. So the story so far, we've had some announcements prior to the show.
Mm-hmm.
First of which, we saw the announced trailer of Dead or Alive 6.
Which is immediately, like, right up at the top of my anticipated titles list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're doing the weird thing of saying, hey, we're not going for the sexy thing anymore after releasing probably about $500 worth of sexy costumes on Dead or Alive 5. Like multiple $93 season passes.
Yeah.
And
the strange thing about this is that this would have gone perfectly with DOA5's I'm a fighter mantra,
mm-hmm,
if you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, that was where they took that step forward, said, we want to be taken seriously in the scope of the genre. Let's start here. That didn't really play out quite that way. It was right there in the way the game played. It was probably the most down-to-earth and, in line with fighting genre sensibilities title they've ever produced. But
it didn't look
the stylistic shift would have gone a long way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's also some actual blood that gets splattered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit more, I don't know about violent, but like just blood splatter that looked... I hope that's just an effect.
At the end of
the
match, Kasumi did look like she'd given a few people a dirt nap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like what the Mortal Kombat games did on the PS2 and Xbox generation. Yeah. Where it's like, oh, you chip away actual damage off of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've got the Call of Duty jelly effect on the screen.
Yeah.
That I hope is not in the actual game. Or it's an option.
Yeah.
Usually it's going in the right direction, though, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. But usually all of that stuff with DOA is stuff you can turn off. So hopefully that'll be something that you will be able to as well.
Now, but is Yosuke Hayashi at the helm for this one, or are they going to a new producer?
I think Hayashi's still handling it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like what he's done with DOA so far.
Yep. So it looks like it's like I was actually not expecting DOA 6 to even be announced, given
the last thing we heard from Team Ninja was that they wanted to step away from the franchise for a while and work on other IPs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Muse must have struck viciously.
They had Neo and a couple other games they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, Neo was
I'm looking at IGN's preview for this.
Start under their umbrella.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at IGN's preview, and they say the director is Yohei Shimbora.
Shibori. Oh. So it's not Hayashi. Hayashi must be doing some other stuff.
Yeah.
Because Team Ninja has gotten large enough that they can work on multiple projects at a time. Okay. I look forward to seeing what this guy can do.
Yeah.
It says he was director on DOI 5 and Dimensions and Paradise.
Well,
game design on 4 and Extreme 2.
Okay, so he's already had a lot of experience with the series.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all you really say in a resume like that. He's been around Team Ninja a while. Yeah.
I assume if you like DOI 5, then you have enough faith in him to make the right improvements and such.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good stuff. A nice surprise. Another surprise that ended up showing up was Hitman 2, which I know Chris is definitely looking for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now we got a game in November that's worth checking out. Do we have any games in November? Seemed like all of them either said we're calling next year or we're getting out in September.
Yeah, it's really meta as fuck, because it started out where you'd have some sort of AA titles that would slip off the calendar into the next year to avoid the AAA games.
Yeah.
And now it's like everyone's trying to dodge each other, and you're seeing everything pile up in January and February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In October.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody's trying to get out ahead of Red Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Call of Duty.
Because when Red Dead... yeah, because once Red Dead gets on there, it's going to blow everyone else out of the water.
Yeah.
And they know it.
Weird thing is we still don't know much about that game.
Yeah.
There's some weird mechanics that were revealed in the preview that they had during the pre-E3 stuff, but yeah, Hitman 2, that's coming out November 13th. It's not going to be episodic, so you'll get all of the main sort of episodes at once. It's the sort of same framework as the first season. It is 6 episodes, essentially, 6 areas. The first one they revealed is Miami.
They're just Netflixing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Miami, that is the scene of like a street race. Like a street circuit, I guess.
Hmm.
And they show like you sabotaging the car, causing an accident, all that sort of stuff. They're gonna bring, I think, all the items you've unlocked in the first season into this. I don't think they're gonna integrate it into the client for the first season.
Okay.
But yeah, that's gonna be a pretty interesting scene. If you pre-order it before launch, even right now, you get Hitman Sniper Assassin Mode. I don't know why they add the mode onto the name there. Just Hitman Sniper Assassin. It's a sniper assassin, like minigame. Sort of like what the mobile game is.
Okay.
That looks pretty neat. Because I played a little bit of the mobile game. I deleted because it was over a gig. I need that space. But yeah, that's like one of those neat little games that works well on mobile and seems like it'll work well on a console. It has co-op in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And other than that, they have a couple of different versions. From what I saw, there's the regular version at $60. And if you pay for the, I think, $100 version, you get the next two expansions.
Okay.
So they're going to be keeping the content coming in. They said elusive targets are coming back. The various challenge stuff, like, they're just keeping all that stuff there. And just
basically everything people liked about the first one, they're just making more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And also this add this onto the pile of games that rebooted the name and now we're just redoing the names over again. There's already a Hitman 2.
Yeah.
So that one's at least subtitled Silent Assassin.
Yeah.
So I assume we might get a Doom 2 at the Bethesda show.
Yeah, I hope so.
We got Battlefront 2, we might get a God of War 2 at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe a little early to talk about that, but I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah. But that game did too well for them to say, yeah, we're done with God of War.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that weird part of this industry now.
Yeah.
Of where doing
reboots are too successful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Capcom didn't have to worry about that with DMC.
No.
Mm.
That eventually did well. Then like, yeah, we're going back to DMC5.
Yeah.
So that's also weird.
Yeah. We'll see how that one turns out.
We can expect that we'll see more of that at the Square Enix show tomorrow. No, we won't.
No, that'd be...
No, we won't. I forgot that. They spun them out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Hitman. Yeah. That's Warner Brothers is publishing this one.
Uh-oh.
And distributing it.
Uh-oh.
Which I don't really have
prepare
any issues
wallets.
With that. I don't have any issues with that because they don't own the license. They don't own the rights to this game.
Yeah.
This is IO bringing it to WB and they're supporting them.
Yeah.
And IO has done everything right so far with the first season, so
yeah,
no issues there. I don't know if this is going to be at E3 or like only the press conferences because they already did their announcement and all that. People are playing that Sniper Assassin thing.
Mm.
Okay.
They don't need that.
Okay, so we'll look forward to that. And then there was the Tetris Effect, which came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tetsuya Mizuguchi.
Yep. Yeah, here's the guy that did Rez and Luminous. Now he's making the Tetris.
Yeah, the Tetris.
Making it weird.
Is this weaponized Tetris? I mean...
It will be.
Yeah, it will be.
We're reaching peak Tetris at this point.
Pretty much
they named
of his
it after the Tetris effect.
Yeah. Pretty much all of his games are designed specifically to impact you.
Yeah.
To mostly to give you to like induce something like synesthesia or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so that you'll associate a color with a sound or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to do that, but with Tetris.
Yeah, and the I'm actually thinking about how the VR version would even work, and it occurred to me that you can use head tracking parallax to really fuck with people. You can have the background move as you move your head around, but the play field remain exactly where you're looking.
Oh, so,
yeah, because there is Super Hypercube, I think it is.
Yeah.
That is kind of a puzzle game where you're kind of going through this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And you are sort of looking into the sort of block thing right in front of you. Mm. And you're looking down at the wall and seeing what shape that has to fit into.
Mm.
And you're sort of rotating that around. And I think this will be something similar to that. They have 30 stages.
Oh, geez.
And some of them, a lot of them have like a res or... style, like just here's a bunch of particle effects. They're just going nuts.
Yeah.
And others have like actual settings. Like there's one that looks like it's on a space station and some other stuff like that. And I assume just depending on which of the stages you're in, they'll just do all sorts of weird shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they've also
games used to come with a free sex toy. Now you get a free barf bag in every box.
Yeah, but they've also said they will. It's going to also have like traditional Tetris in it. So
yeah, it is traditional Tetris for the most part.
Yeah.
I kind of suspect that that's in the contract for anyone who signs on to do a version of Tetris.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
which I'm completely okay with.
Yeah, like
I just realized
regular Tetris in it.
Yeah, I just realized a puzzle game that would be just, it would be perfect for VR, but it would be just so, so mean. There was a, I cannot remember for the life of me what it was called. There was a game back in the PS1 era. It was a puzzle game where you had this little guy and he was like on top of like a floor made up of blocks. And the object was
to make... Mr. Driller?
No, it wasn't Mr. Driller. Again, it was a PlayStation game. And the object was to keep him up there and not have him fall through into the void. I cannot remember for the life of me what it was called. But if they had that game in VR...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sounds like... I think you're thinking of IQ, Intelligent Cube.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be just... Yeah. That was a great game.
Had a sequel, if memory serves.
It did, on the PS2.
Intelligent Quotient, I think. Yeah. That was called...
Nope, it was called Intelligent Cube.
The sequel was Intelligent
Quotient. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And, yep, that's exactly what I was thinking of. I'm looking at the box art right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you put that on something like that on VR and made it like hyper realistic looking, that would just
that's Sony property too, lunch. Isn't it?
Yep, it is. Well, it was Psygnosis at the time, I think, but anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't need VR if you don't have it. It'll be doing all the full stuff. They say 4K 60fps on a Pro. And obviously in 3D on PSVR. Mm-hmm. So it'll be one of the most beautiful puzzle games you'll have ever seen.
Yeah.
That's an understatement.
I mean, Mizuguchi already holds that title, so it'll just be a different game.
Yeah. I mean, Lumines and Meteos were already pretty intense and crazy on the handhelds. Now in VR, I can only imagine how much thought went into the composing of the music, because, yeah, this has EDM written all over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a great song in the trailer that people have been like, what is this song? What is, who is this? And it's like, well, that's one of their original ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, Mizuguchi has his own band.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I assume they'll have a song in there at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am genuinely and like thoroughly looking forward to this because Tetris Ultimate just disappointed me in every way possible.
Yep.
So
they somehow managed to take Tetris and screw it up.
Yeah.
Which is somehow possible.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I just want a one of these stages to be a nod to a Gunpei skin, which had a dog pooping. It was just pooping out various things out of its butt.
And in 4K.
Mm-hmm.
4K in VR.
Yeah.
I need to get under that dog.
Okay, I think we've learned something.
We got to get... This is why we need to get sound drops on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
need that in a drop.
What's not VR if not being able to break it and find all the weird shit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you find out, that's why I do every first person game I do a video on, I immediately try to see if we have a head or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or if like the vehicle has a back.
Because
I think Dirt Rally does not. No. You're driving half a car.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, okay. And finally, before we get to the EA press conference, Crackdown 3 has slipped again to February 2019. So that month is getting a lot more crowded.
Yep.
And that's if it actually makes it.
Yeah. Yeah, that means it's walking right into Anthem, isn't it?
Yes.
Anthem and Days Gone.
Well, actually, Anthem comes out. Doesn't Anthem come out in January?
No.
February 29th.
Great.
22nd.
22nd?
Same day as Days Gone.
Oh, jeez.
So people were like, oh, yeah, it's going to go up against, Anthem's going to go up against Crackdown. It's like, I don't know. Well,
different audiences.
Jury's still out on whether this game is actually coming out. Because
if you're one of those crazies who play everything, then my heart hurts for your wallet.
Well, Crackdown is a Microsoft product, so if you have Game Pass, you'd just be able to play it that way. So
that's true.
We don't have it here, but I'll add it. Kingdom Hearts 3 got a date in January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
January. So
No, it's a hard.
I buy it.
Speaking of Anthem and Days Gone, did you guys see what CEO Cosgrove Riot tweeted?
What was that?
I don't know.
We are releasing Days Gone on the same day as Anthem so that everybody has something to play when Anthem servers immediately go down.
Ouch!
That account is a fucking savage.
It's awesome. Yeah, he's actually retiring at the end of this E3, so should be good stuff.
No fucks given. So, yeah. Yeah, so this date is going to be a hard, allegedly.
Yeah.
So
and I bet they're going to double down on it at the Square Enix show.
Yeah. So Matsuda is basically going, yeah, this is coming out. Yeah.
We need to tie a bow on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So good stuff of that, and that we will see at the Square Enix conference tomorrow. So, yeah. So finally, we'll get to mostly, EA had their show yesterday, because of course they did, there was some stuff there. I'm not sure if
best show EA's ever put on.
Yeah, they pretty much did a mea culpa type of
It was thing. Also the thinnest press conference I've ever seen. Like, the amount of gameplay that was shown,
yeah,
I think it might be little. More mobile gameplay shown than console PC gameplay.
Yeah.
That's because the mobile game was finished.
And
No, it's not finished.
It's a beta.
Yeah.
But also, like, the amount of information we got for each game was like, hey, we'll reveal this later this year, or you'll see this at the Xbox press briefing.
Yeah.
Or, well, that was disappointing.
Hey, here's
we
a
already
date.
Know that a good chunk of the Microsoft show is going to go to Battlefield 5.
Yeah, like their whole thing with NBA Live 19 was like, hey, this is out in September. See ya.
Yeah.
Wait, what's new? Alan Iverson, that's it?
Nothing, yeah, so...
Like, just go to their site.
Yeah, there was a couple of... Go ahead, Daniel.
As good as it was, and, you know, good being a weird way to put it, it was just pretty much your average run-of-the-mill press conference. Like, nothing they really talked about was actually new. I think there were, like, what, 3 or 4 new games, and one of those new games is actually out now. So, it was weird, but then again, they did what they had to do, and that's what I appreciate about it. So,
yeah, EA kind of real. I think EA had a good deal of
egg on their face.
Yeah, and they also had a good deal, enough, you know, recognition that they kind of had to not bring out the jock assholeness this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that all this gen EA has been yo-yoing back and forth between aggressive and conservative.
Because
they came out at the launch of this gen like, yeah, we're going to have Battlefield 4, we're going to have a full Madden game, and next year it's like, yeah, sorry about Battlefield 4, we're going to really try and get more betas out there and make sure this stuff is working fully as much as we can.
Yeah,
they were a big part of the reason why sign up for our beta was a recurring trope at E3 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a long time. When they announced the hardline beta and fucking had the confetti cannons shoot shit out. It's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. So really what EA did, and this was kind of really what they had to do, is they had to have enough self-awareness to realize that they screwed up and they needed to show that they had realized that they had screwed up, and they were acknowledging that, and that they wanted to do better. They were properly chastened, and they're trying to show a good bit of remorse.
Yeah,
I think they did a great job of that. Final Fantasy XIV has added some gravity to it whenever I see somebody say, you know, we fucked this game up, we botched the launch. It would be the easiest thing in the world right now to just walk away from it, let it rot, and think of it as a black eye in our history. But we're going to do the hard thing, and we're going to fix this.
Yeah.
Well, if you really wanted to help fix this, maybe you could put the DLC for Mass Effect Andromeda back into production, you jackasses.
No. Yeah, but the internet.
Well, that's another topic entirely.
Yeah, and it seems like they're kind of moving into the Ubisoft model where not every game Ubisoft puts out is a banger at launch.
No.
But they keep working on it, and they have a commitment to their community, however big or small, that they're going to keep working on it and make it make whatever issues there are right as best they can.
Yeah.
Like, you can even see when they talked about Battlefront 2, it's like, yeah, we're going to make this game as good as we can at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging that there might be some things that are not fixable, but they're going to do as much as they can and try and do as much as they can that the audience wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Which they ended up not seeing, you know, Clone Wars stuff, new modes. They talked about, you know, they changed the whole progression system and all that in Konami.
I'm also happy that the team is getting that opportunity because, and I said this at E3 last year, it's a team that's so passionate about what they're working on that you want to root for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were definitely doing this sort of thing with Battlefield, especially Battlefield 1 and Battlefield 4, where they were adding maps to Battlefield 4 even as recent as maybe last year.
Mm.
They were adding, like, community maps and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, that's really cool. They were free. They weren't charging for them like they could have easily done. And they also added, like, a new launcher, I think, on PC that just has all the Battlefield games in it.
Mm.
So you can easily switch between them.
Yeah.
It's like some of that stuff that's really cool, and they're getting there. They take lumps along the way.
Yeah.
But they're getting there with their development process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess we should start talking about each sort of individual title they talked about.
Yeah, we've been kind of touching on them. So, like,
yeah, but we might as well.
Was
yeah.
the one that they spent, actually the one that they did spend the most time on, and that's seeing something.
Yeah, and they announced the Battle Royale,
which is called Royale.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to give you more information later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's about all they did, but it basically
blew the roof off the PUBG.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though I saw that Andy McNamara was in the audience, and he said there were actually people booing.
Yeah, well, it's easy to boo it, because, you know, it's like, yeah, Battle Royale is a thing, and okay, yeah, now we're doing this too. It's like, you know, show some innovation, but we don't know the details of it or what it's going to be like. Just know it's a Royale mode, and that's...
Yeah.
I imagine it's Battlefield, like, vets that are like, oh, that thing's just a fad. I don't want that in Battlefield.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what that boils down to, yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, man, just fucking grow up. You don't play it if you don't want to.
There's
going to be a ton of different modes they announced for the game.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, don't play Battlefield?
Don't click on the Royale mode on there.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing is that you can say whatever you want about those kinds of modes, but the fact of the matter is, with games like Call of Duty and Battlefield adopting these kinds of modes, these are two of the best shooters you have in the genre, and you're actually going to have some polished work here, unless unlike what we see with PUBG and Fortnite. So,
yeah. And sort of on that vein, we got our first big loser of E3, which was the GameStop account.
account. Oh, God.
That somebody, like, jokingly asked them, yeah, where's Madden Battle Royale? Are they working on Madden Battle Royale? And they responded, like, if they are, we got Ray Rice.
It's like, not okay.
It's like, oh, if you want to make a tasteless joke, go for O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Or you can even go Ray Lewis, but even then, the irony of
O.J.
this is they have
him,
a...
Though.
Yeah. The irony also is that they had their icon was Gay Pride. So also, it's like, oh, hey, guess what group has suffered a lot of domestic abuse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, yeah.
But, so what? And since they kind of brought it up already, they sort of brought up the whole sort of subject of gender representation.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was an underlying theme of that in the entire EA conference, because I don't think I've ever seen more women on stage at an EA conference ever.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, there was actually one of the indie games we're talking about later on. They had one of the lead women on there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she rambled on a little bit, but it was still a nice speech she had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they did that, because there are a few things sweeter than the salty, salty tears of Gamergate a-holes.
Yeah, the Battlefield guys definitely were like, yeah, we're going to be covering the men and the women that's, you know, led this war.
Yeah.
Even if we fictionalize them a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that could be the new slogan, by the way. EA, it's in the game. Die mad about it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like, I was pleased to see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they also had a woman hosting the show.
Yeah.
Andrea Renee.
Yeah.
What is it? What's Good Games? Mm-hmm. Is that her channel?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. WGG.
Yeah. So there was that. And then randomly during the show, we had Vince from Respawn Games who got questioned.
Oh, I think this all came about as like Disney okayed this at the last minute and they had nothing like
to show.
Concept art or anything. They didn't bring anything with them.
Yeah. So it was our first 1 year violation.
A justifiable one, you could argue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there was something a little bit more subtle in there, which it took me a couple of minutes to pick up on. Because there was a lot of people who were hoping that EA was going to lose the Star Wars license.
Uh-huh.
And mm-hmm. this was kind of a very subtle way of saying, no, we're not.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, they announced their game called Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Set between 3 and 4 after, you know, Order 66 is given out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a good studio to give that sort of action game because Stig Asmussen is the director for this game who led Order 3.
Yeah.
I like where this is going.
Yeah. Yep.
And, given that they killed the Respawn single-player Star Wars game, maybe this is
a Visceral.
Yeah, Visceral.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also why they didn't show anything, is, like, they showed that game a bit too early.
Yeah.
And bit them in the ass when the game did not work out.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I don't think they're going to have that problem this time.
Yeah. Don't think so. We already talked about the mea culpa that they've been doing at length, so skip past that.
Yeah.
Unravel 2. This was kind of a surprise. It was, the sequel to a game that I don't think sold gangbusters last year, but...
It sold so poorly that I didn't realize it had launched yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it did well and got buoyed by EA Access.
Yeah.
So it was available on there pretty early, and then the full game was also available on there. The weird thing is it was not actually much of a surprise because ESRB leaked it off the show.
Yep.
Which totally made sense when they made the announcements because it's out now. So of course,
I do think ESRB, the publishers are going to have to sit down and have a long talk with the ESRB about that sort of thing.
Yeah. Like, hey, here's roughly when we're going to announce this. Please post it like 30 minutes after that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I got kind of a little bit of a Brothers vibe from it with the two Yarnies that were that you have to have at all times.
Or Knack 2, obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The best part was definitely the... Because
that was also a red blue Knack.
The presenter being on stage and making a reference to co-op with yourself, which just got him glared at by the director.
Yeah, I think his exact words were, if you want to play the game with yourself.
Yeah.
It's and the way that he paused, I almost think this was intentional, between play the game and then with yourself, was an easily editable sound bite.
I imagine that was something that was brought up in rehearsals, and he's like, no, I'm totally going to do it. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Which would explain why he got glared at.
Yeah.
So,
like, see, I did it.
Yeah. And, yeah. So local co-op, no online, available
unless
now.
Unless you're on PS4.
Share play.
The share play.
Yeah.
Maybe Origin Access.
Yeah, I didn't realize
access.
That. Yeah.
That's a,
yeah. With whatever, we still got to try Alpha 2 that way.
Yeah. So it even works. I'm not even sure. Yeah, we'll have to see, because I think the 30th anniversary actually disables that for some reason.
Oh, those motherfuckers.
Anyways.
Of course, they would be the ones to try to... Yeah, we'll just limit your options.
Yeah. So, and then we saw the new title out of EA Originals, which was Sea of Solitude.
Yep. From a Berlin studio named Jomai.
I think she pronounced it Jomai.
Okay.
So, I don't
know. That also might be just German pronunciation.
Yeah.
But yeah. So this one seems pretty neat, about a woman. Is that a game all about loneliness? And the sort of character that is lonely in this sort of like sunken city, mostly sunken city. And she is sort of dealing with the sort of mental health kind of monsters that are popping out of that sort of thing. And she had a nice little speech about like mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And such, especially when it comes to how people react to loneliness and that sort of stuff.
That was also a very quotable segment of the show.
Yeah.
And she also had a Kraftwerk shirt on. It was nice.
which I appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, for me, over the last 2 years, EA Originals has always been like my highlight of EA's show, and it's been no different this year. That Sea of Solitude game looks great. Last year, I had a lot of interest in A Way Out, which ended up being a good game in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like EA Originals is one of the few things that the company has gotten right. I mean, I don't know if anybody really realizes this, but all of the profits that these studios make don't go to EA at all. And they just mentioned yesterday that Yosef Fares, the guy who said fuck the Oscars, is seeing his studio grow tremendously, all because of this success. So good on him for it.
I kind of think there was a low-key implication there. Like, yeah, we set him up with his own studio, so he's too busy moving right now that we can't give him a live mic at
E3. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which they even hinted at during the when he was talking about them doing well enough, they're moving into a new, bigger studio.
Yeah. Cut to a scene of him just loading boxes into a U-Haul and sneeze.
With a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looked really good. I actually really liked the art style in that game. So
Yeah.
Check early 2019, but this is going to be a crowded quarter.
Yeah.
Oof. Anyways. Then they announced Origin Access Premium, which is basically Xbox Game Pass for PC.
Premiere.
Premiere.
Yeah.
Here's
our... they'll have all their games available there at launch.
Yep.
They also give you the best version. It's like the deluxe or whatever version.
Yeah, they don't give you a standard one. They just give you all the things.
So here's guy, like
yeah,
the,
I never thought I'd say that, but...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the price is, I think, $9 a month, or if you want to pay up for a whole year, it's $100 instead of $120, which is what I like about EA Access. Is like it's $5 a month, but it's also half off if you pay up for the whole year. It's $30.
Yeah,
and it's like that's what I do because it's half the price of one of their games, and I get access to that stuff. You know, about 6 months later, I can just play as much as I want.
Yeah,
and this is going to take that add on. Having everything at launch.
Yeah.
And it also has third-party stuff, at least as far as Origin is concerned.
Yeah.
They have, like, stuff. Inside and I think some Nordic games are on there as well. A bunch of other indie stuff. And it's like, that service has actually grown pretty well on Origin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll have to look at Origin again, because... This makes a lot of sense, and it's starting to wonder if the other big publishers like Square Enix or Square Enix or Ubisoft or will actually have to start looking at options like this.
Maybe this would incentivize Square to not half-ass their ports.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Like, hey, maybe we could get all the Final Fantasy games on PS4. Or Xbox One, and you guys don't farm it out, so it looks like shit.
That would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you have to keep Tetsuya Nomura far away from it as possible, because otherwise, that's how you get development hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But also, part of this is that they are working on like a PlayStation Now style like streaming service for their games, and that would also potentially tie into this service at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't have much other than, hey, here's somebody with like one of those holders for a controller, so you could play it on like a mobile phone or like on a PC or a laptop or whatever, sort of take it with you.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's Origin Access Premier launching soon. And if for PC gamers who tend to buy a lot of EA stuff, this actually makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Madden is actually coming back to the PC for the first time in like 10 years. So
yeah, I did not see that coming.
Hmm. So yeah, they're gonna have that. FIFA's gonna keep going. I think NHL maybe. I don't think they specifically NHL announced
hasn't
it.
Been on PC in years as well. So if that makes
2004, I want to say.
Yeah.
So people are already like, "Oh, we're gonna hack the shit out of this." It's like, all right.
Of course they are, but that's not. You know, that doesn't change the sentiment of it. So
yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Another thing that's coming back is Command & Conquer, sort of. They're doing a mobile game called CNC Rivals, the beta of which is available now on Android and will be later on iOS.
Who didn't see this one coming?
Yeah, this was...
I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, it's a Clash Royale clone.
Mm-hmm.
Which was pretty obvious, and we got a shout-casted match. Prove it.
Yep.
Yeah. And
it was a thing. It happened.
If you're going to bring back Command & Conquer, this is not how you do it.
No.
So, 50-yard violation, EA. That's no good. the least, less I could say about this one, the better, apart from the fact that, you know, it is, you can play it now and perhaps, you know, influence how it gets developed, and maybe this will lead to a PC return for the series, because there's a lot that you could do with CNC as long as, you know, you have developers on it.
They've tried a variety of things, and some of that hasn't worked out.
I would say just go back to Down and Dirty CNC before the whole Tiberium sci-fi angle happened.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was a sci-fi from the get-go, but the thing of it is...
It was a bit more subtly so in the first couple games than...
Yeah. It was more like Cold War type. Yeah, it was
actually
really good back then.
Yeah, this is them going directly after the general mobile audience.
Yeah.
And where the money is right now. And then they had the nice nod of, hey, here's Kane.
Yeah.
CG
that
game.
Was cool.
Yeah. So that happened. And then they brought on BioWare to talk about Anthem.
Yeah.
They didn't show very much in the way of gameplay or, you know, anything.
Not until the very end.
Yeah, and then you got about 4 minutes of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of tell that this was more. This was them really explaining what the game was going to be. They flat out addressed the whole loot box thing and say, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, they basically this was much more of them saying what Anthem was than them explaining what Anthem was not going to be.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we aren't going to have loot boxes or treasure bags or any of that crap. We're not going to have any kind of, monetary stuff that isn't cosmetic.
You'll know what you're buying up front.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm still a little disappointed that we're at the point now where microtransactions on top of $60 to $80 game purchases has become okay.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the business model you want to do to support your game, then maybe you make it free to play to begin with.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to make plenty of money just on the purchase of the game itself.
Yeah.
They're going to be tripping money by the time this is over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That said, all of that said, holy fuck, does this game look good?
Right? Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It legitimately looks great.
Hmm.
And we already know also sort of like how the game's going to work. There are going to be other NPCs, and there will be friendship stuff. There will be no romances, which I kind of expected from the get-go.
So we're not bumping javelins?
Nope.
No, we're not bumping javelins. But considering the type of game it was, I kind of expected that from the beginning.
Here's our episode title.
Yeah.
Yep.
And basically, you in this game, there are basically, it's wide open from the start. So you can basically go to any place you want, and those places can kill you instantly.
Mm-hmm. you have to be very careful.
Yeah, they showed during the gameplay, like, you go into this specific place, and there's, like, this big boss dude hanging out around there, and they take a couple shots, and it does almost nothing.
Yeah.
So they're like, yep, we're just going to keep going here.
Mm-hmm. And also, unfortunately, no underwater fighting.
At least but initially.
Did they say that explicitly, or did they just say...
You got to go to Game Informer. They had one of their, like, 130 rapid-fire quick questions to ask the producer, and he's like, no, you can't fight underwater.
For those who don't know, Anthem is the cover game for June for Game Informer.
Yep, they've got their feature like up there for free on the website right now. If you want to read it, it's like 14 pages worth of material. So
I really need to resubscribe to that. Yeah.
Which makes sense why they didn't really show or talk about that much here.
Yeah. And also the covers they've got for this month are freaking amazing.
Oh, did they do variants?
Yep, three of them. It's the three types of javelins. Well, the three classes of javelins you can fly in.
There's four javelins. Yeah, so it's like...
The three flies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So it's Iron Man in space, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Pat was... we were talking earlier about Anthem, and you know, like... he mentioned that he got kind of a Phantasy Star Online vibe from it, and
yeah,
definitely tapped into that energy with the environments and some of the stylistic decisions, and it just made me happy.
Also, all the information that it shows when you're shooting at an enemy,
yeah,
yeah,
like that is straight out of out of Phantasy Star Online. So basically, BioWare, really, all they need to do is just, you know, they've got, so far, they've got, they're sort of getting back in the good graces of people after the debacle that was Mass Effect Andromeda's release, even though I don't think the graphical issues were as serious as people made them out to be, but...
they seldom are.
Yeah. And, so basically what they're kind of having to do now is they're trying to, like, okay, we're going to do sort of the usual BioWare MO, which is we're going to let, you know, have a trickle of information. We're going to show you exactly what we want you to see, and we're going to try and not screw this up again.
Yeah. So, basically the way I can sum up this, press conference is, to say that EA looks like they're trying to get themselves back into the good graces of gamers, as you just mentioned. But, you know, this is a good place to start. Let's see how they are in 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you know, they may say that they understand and whatever, but... One of the things that Andrew Wilson said on stage was that he wanted people to feel invested in everything that they do, and to feel like they're accomplishing something, no matter what they're doing, which is a very flowery way of saying we will use as addicting mechanics as we possibly can. So. You know, six of one, half.
Yeah.
Six of one, half dozen of the other. So, yeah.
The one thing if there's really one, absolutely one thing they need to do, BioWare especially needs to do, is make sure and drive the point home that no, this is not a Destiny clone.
Yeah, I think.
Because
do you think they can actually sell that, though?
Well, they have to.
It's pretty blatantly.
Yeah, because here's the last human city that is being threatened, and you are the freelancers.
Yeah.
That are being sent out to take out these big baddies. And there's four classes, though. The big difference is you have a character independent of the class.
Yeah.
You can swap between the suits as needed, I assume, in the city.
Yeah, also, it's supposed to be more story-focused than Destiny is.
Yeah.
And apparently you can 100% play this game single player. So,
although you will still be online when you're doing it.
Yeah.
See, that's a little concerning, because then we end up with a live services type thing, which means if the game ever shuts down, your ability to play it single player goes away. Yeah. So, yeah,
that does poison the well a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
On the other hand, the game does look really good. I think if EA just has a light touch from now on, it'll probably do really well.
So, yeah, just back off and let BioWare do what they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will be satisfied if you'll
be
just
rewarded.
Yeah.
Now let them finish the game.
Yeah. So that was pretty much the EA conference in a nutshell. No, we went on a little longer for it to be a nutshell, but anyway. There were other things in there, obviously we saw FIFA, Madden, NBA Live.
Yeah, they basically killed Pro Evolution Soccer.
Yeah, pretty much.
Said, hey, here's your one advantage. You guys gave it up, and now we got it.
Yeah.
And hey, free FIFA 18 for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you can
download
that right now.
Honestly, a Konami crucifixion will do nothing but get cheered in this day and age.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Fuck Konami. So,
yeah, if there's that hardcore PS crowd that will always stay by their series.
For reasons I don't understand. So anyways. So then we have a little bit of a breaking news story in the sense that Square Enix announces Nier Automata, Be as Gods, for the Xbox One. So,
yep, it's basically a deluxe edition of the game for Xbox One.
All the DLC.
Yeah, kind of wondering when that was going to move over. Now we know.
End of the month.
So
I expect that to factor into the Microsoft show here in about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For first day, not too bad.
Oh.
More than I was expecting.
Yeah, I really wasn't expecting to come away from an EA conference thinking, maybe they're not so bad. But, I have to give that with a grain of salt, because, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, won't get fooled again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It seems like they're trying to keep expectations in check for now.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more... Which to me is a lot more preferable than the hype train that we're used to seeing from them.
Yeah, especially last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, look at this Need for Speed game. It's so awesome. It's like Burnout. It's like, nope.
That's not what we want, folks.
Just give us Burnout.
Mm-hmm. And the microtransactions were so bad, but nobody noticed because nobody played it.
Yeah.
It's like, Need for Speed might be dead for a while.
Yeah,
which is probably exactly what it needs.
A couple of years off, at least, wouldn't hurt it.
Yeah.
So I mean, they didn't show The Sims on stage, but they had an expansion coming out. They just didn't mention it.
They showed it in the montage at the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But that was also just like a free update thing.
Yep. So that's pretty much it for now. We will be back tomorrow with recaps of the Microsoft, Devolver, and Bethesda conferences.
Yeah. Square Enix.
Hopefully, by that time, we'll actually have finally seen Cyberpunk 2077.
By now, we should.
Yep.
And if not, what the hell is CD Projekt Red waiting for?
It's there. Yeah. Everybody has pretty much said it's going to be there. So
yeah, so I want to see it.
We all want to see it.
Yeah.
And we want a release date, too, if possible.
Yeah.
You've been working on this long enough.
Yeah. 5 fucking years.
Yeah.
So well, your studio needs to see freedom sooner or later.
Yeah.
So there. Remind you guys that if you haven't subscribed to the show, you can do so on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast aggregator. I'd like to remind everybody else to check us out at smashpad.com, where we've got written content, and we've had quite a bit of it this week.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of reviews went up, so check those out. So until tomorrow, I'm Filippo D'Analfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Hologi.
I'm Victoria.
My bad. It's E3. We won't nitpick.